People who use trains regularly get very, very upset if their trains are delayed. I don't know if you ever used a train regularly, but you have your own spot on the platform, you stand in the right place, you put your briefcase or your bag down, and you get the same seat on the train at the same time every morning. If that train is delayed by more than 30 seconds, you get very, very upset. The people of Warrington were very upset. So Virgin Rail, kind people that they are, spent €25 on a sign. They spent another €25 for a person to nail it to the wall, and everybody was happy. But why did they really do that? Why did they really do that? Actually, Virgin Rail couldn't care less about trains being delayed for 30 seconds. They can easily make up the time during the journey. It's not really a problem. So why did they put the sign up? That's a question. You know, this is what we call an interactive session. The speaker, that's me, asks a question the audience, currently you, are allowed to respond. Yes?
To give the impression that they care.
Pardon?
To give the impression that they care about the
complaint. Not exactly, no. Good try. My friend, one of the journalists will get this right, I'm sure. Why is this?
They want the publicity.
Spot on. That's why he's a brilliant journalist. That's why you should speak to him during this event. Absolutely fantastic. Who do you write for?
PR.
He's a brilliant PR person. There we are. You should use his PR agency, whatever it is. They're fantastic. Yes, it is. And if you go to Google and you look up Warrington No Kissing, you get 57,900 hits for that story. Do the sum. They spent €50 having the sign made and having it nailed to the wall. They got 57,900 mentions of that on the internet. Plus the number of radio interviews. They got 300 radio interviews. They got 12 TV interviews. Their spokespeople were all across the media for a cost of €50 to alert the media to the fact there was a story. It's a story. And the one message I want to get across to you today is that you've got to give the media a story. If you give them a good story, they will print it and they will broadcast it, because the media are about stories. So what you've got to do when you're thinking about promoting or pinging your event, give the media a story. Not only that, if you give them a good story, find a way of extending it. Find a way of prolonging the story. Virgin are very, very clever at PR. Because what they did next, they put another sign in the car park. Linger for longer. Got a train to catch, but don't want to let you go. Going to miss you with all of my heart. You mean the world to me. Hug me, hold me, kiss me. No matter how far you go, I will always be yours. For those people who wanted to kiss and cuddle, that's the place to stand. Because this sign was nailed up in the car park at the station in Warrington, so that if you were offended by the no kissing sign, you could go and stand in the car park and do, legally I suppose, whatever you wanted to. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that kind? What they did, what that happened 3 weeks after they put the initial sign up, it extended the life of the PR story, and they got another 5,000 mentions on Google. If you look up Linger for Longer sign at Warrington Station, you get nearly 5,000 mentions on Google. That's extending the life of a story. That's the second point. Create a story, give it to the media, and then find a way of extending the life. However, if you've spotted a good story and you think, I wish I'd done that, wish I'd thought of that, because I could have promoted my event if only I'd thought of that, then you can use another technique, and this is what Chiltern Railways did. This is a different railway company, Chiltern Railways. They hired a couple of actors, who obviously didn't mind kissing, from the look of it. They had a sign produced which says, unlike other train companies, we would never dream of banning kissing at our stations. So Chiltern Railways have a kissing available zone all along the platform. You can kiss wherever you want on Chiltern Railways. Isn't that lovely? What lovely people they are. Because what they are doing is a technique called piggybacking. So they have seen that Virgin have got a very successful PR strategy. They've seen them extend the story, and they thought, we want a piece of that. So another thing that you can do when you're promoting your event is, if you spot an opportunity, if you see something that somebody else has done which has worked, see if you can piggyback, if you can create an opportunity for yourself by using a similar story, or in fact using an element of that story. Unfortunately, it didn't do quite so well for them, They only got 309 mentions on Google. But nevertheless, that's 309 mentions for the price of hiring two actors and having a poster printed. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know how big your marketing budgets are. I don't know how big your PR budgets are. But I am prepared to bet that if you could get a huge amount of publicity for your event by spending 50 or 100 euros, you would take the opportunity. Am I right? Yes, three people there agreed with me. Excellent. So the rest of you have massive marketing budgets and PR budgets. You don't care spending. I'm going to talk to you afterwards because I'm going to have a piece of that. Aren't we? We're going to have a piece of that. We're going to talk to these guys about their massive PR budgets because they don't care how much they have to spend. Okay, so that's a story. Or it's what I tend to call a magic message. And I think the most important thing when you're talking to a journalist, when you're promoting your event, is to create what I call a magic message. And I'm now going to give you the elements of a magic message, which you are free to use to promote your own event. Magic messages are simple. They're really simple. The simpler you can create a message, the better it is, the better it will work. And I'm going to show you one of my favourite websites. We're not going to go online just yet. This is a website called the 4-Word Film Review. There's an interactive bit coming up here. Can anybody guess what the 4-Word Film Review, there's a clue in the title, can anybody guess what the 4-Word Film Review does? I'm sorry? Brilliant. Did you hear that? It reviews films in 4 words. Brilliant. Well done. Thank you very much. It does. It reviews films in 4 words. I had to reload this site a number of times before I took this screenshot because some of the films they review are a little bit naughty, ladies and gentlemen. And I knew you were a young and impressionable audience. So to save your blushes and mine, I've tried to... In fact, I found some films I've never heard of. But that doesn't really matter because I'm going to give you a little quiz now. I'm going to show you some reviews of current films from the 4-Word Film Review site, and we're going to have a little competition to see which table can come up with all the titles of these films. So here we go. Are you ready? There are 5 current movies. So I'm going to give you 1 minute for each table to see if any of you can figure out all 5 of those titles. Off you go. Excellent. Okay. Has any table got all 5 films? You have. That's never happened before. Fantastic. Well done. Right, the top one is actually quite easy. So tell us what the top one is. In fact, no, I'll ask another table because you all have got a top one. Yeah. What's the top one? Avatar. Okay, easy. Right. Who's... Right, over here, what's the second one? Invictus. Correct? Film about rugby in South Africa? Might need to think these through. Actually, you might laugh about some of these on the flight home, you know, but it might take a while. But nevertheless, I'm sure you'll get them. What's the third one down, please?
Sherlock Holmes.
Very good. Fourth one? Up in the Air. Very good. We're getting it in stereo. This is brilliant. We're getting this in stereo. Okay. And the last one?
Edge of Darkness.
Fantastic. Well done. Well done, then. Well done, you. Absolutely brilliant. Well done. Round of applause for them. Well done. Well done. What is the point of this, apart from being a bit of fun? The point is, you can, if you know a little bit about the film, figure out from 4 words what it's all about. Or you could have done the name of the film, I know that's a bit obvious. The point of this, though, is that if you can craft a very, very simple message, you can create a flavour of something, even though you're only expressing it in very, very few words. This is what headline writers do. If you're a very good headline writer, you can create a story just in the headline, which makes people want to know more. And this is one of the most important things that PR is about. It's creating an interest. It's giving people a little bit of bait so that they want to swim closer and grab the hook, and then you've got them and they're going to pay to come to your event. So, I'm going to talk a little bit about headlines now. These are 2 headlines which I photographed in London. No, one was in London, one was in Brighton. I may have to explain these. Susan Boyle. You'll have heard of Susan Boyle, I'm sure. Susan Boyle, a wonderful singer, celebrity, came up through X Factor, very big in America now, but very popular. This is my local newspaper in East London, the Wanstead and Woodford Guardian. Local newspapers are wonderful, because local newspapers always have to come up with some local angle to a story, and their local angle is Susan Boyle's cat moves to Wanstead. This made me want to buy the newspaper. I don't buy the Wanstead and Woodford Guardian every week, but on this particular occasion I couldn't resist when I saw that outside the newsagent. So I walked into the shop, I bought a copy of the Wanstead and Woodford Guardian, and the story, Susan Boyle's cat moves to Wanstead, interestingly, was about Susan Boyle's cat moving to Wanstead. And that was it. You know, that was kind of, once you've read the headline, you didn't really need to buy the paper and read the story, but I did. I was taken in. And this is the sort of thing that the PR is about. It's bringing people in. Actually, there's more to it than that. King Alfred, here, latest shock in the Brighton Argus. For those of you who don't know, King Alfred's been dead quite a few years now. Well over 1,000. Did anyone know when King Alfred was alive? No historians in the audience. He's been dead for over 1,000 years. There isn't any latest news about King Alfred. It was what we call a very slow news day in Brighton that day. The editor said, have we got any stories in the drawer that we can pull out? And one of the journalists said, I think I've got something about King Alfred in here somewhere. Oh, here we go. And that became the headline. Unfortunately, I did the same thing. I had to go and buy the newspaper. Because I thought, what on earth is that about? It intrigued me. In fact, it was that they'd found a bit of King Alfred's jewellery on a beach in Brighton. Somebody with one of those metal detector things. Things that go beep on the beach. They'd found a bit of King Alfred's. I don't know about you, I've got a wicked sense of humour sometimes. I have this idea that what you should do, you should get tiny little discs of metal and you should have engraved on them, you sad person, and you should bury them on beaches. So when these people come along with a metal detector, beep, 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 oh, look at that, and it comes, oh, okay, you sad person. I've never done that. I just thought it would be an interesting thing to do. Maybe not, I don't know. I'm just sharing that with you. If you want to try that, you can do that. So headlines. You need to think in headlines. I'm going to show you one of my favourite headlines now, and don't be alarmed, no animal was harmed during the production of this headline. This is quite an old headline from a newspaper called The Sun. Freddie Starr, for those of you who don't know, used to be a comedian in the UK. And as far as I remember, Martin, you might remember, he used to march around in a uniform, didn't he, and make... And it wasn't funny. But he made a career of it. Anyway, one day, this headline appeared on The Sun. That was the highest selling edition for the whole year, whenever that was, back in 1980 blip. He didn't really eat a hamster in, do you know what a hamster is? Well, know what a hamster is? A tiny little rodent that small school children have, which die during the school holidays, we discovered. I don't know why they do that, but every hamster we've ever had died during the school holidays. Just one of those things. They're programmed to do it. Anyway, he didn't actually eat a hamster. All he did was put a hamster between two slices of bread and pretend to eat it. But it became a headline. And again, it's the sort of thing which people are intrigued by. Audience participation time now. What I'd like you to do is to come up with an intriguing headline for your business or your event. And I'm going to give a prize of this wonderful book to the best headline that we come up with. Okay? You can work in pairs or you can work in tables or whatever. So you've got 3 minutes, let's say 3 minutes. 3 minutes to come up with a brilliant, funny headline to promote your business or your event. Prize for the best one. How about that? Okay, time's up. Time's up. So we're going to ask for volunteers who want to enter this competition to win this wonderful book. Who's got a headline they're really proud of? Who's got a headline they think is reasonably okay? You have a... Okay, one here.
Conference eats itself clever.
I don't understand that at all, but actually, it's not a bad headline. I think I might buy the newspaper to read that. Eats itself clever. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, my improving food and beverage at conferences to enhance learning experiences.
Wow. Do you want to come and do this, and I'll come and sit where you are? That's very good. I like that. So you can do clever food and drink. Fantastic. Is it clever food and drink here? Don't comment.
Yeah.
Actually, no comment's not a good comment. I'm going to tell you that in a minute. Okay, thank you for that. What about over here? There's a pointing thing going on here. What have you got?
Who can it be?
Paul Kennedy, R.I.P. Well, that's a... Sorry, I'll repeat that. That was Paul Kennedy, R.I.P. Is Paul Kennedy here? I don't know who Paul Kennedy is, you see. I'm just a humble hired gun here. I don't... Should I know Paul Kennedy?
No.
Okay. Has he died?
No, he hasn't.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a bit of a tasteless headline, actually. Like the Freddie Starr thing, but that's okay.
Tasteless
is okay. We like tasteless, yes, okay. But, right, okay, so, I'm not sure that's quite as good as... But it's a headline that anyone who knew Paul Kennedy would have to buy that newspaper. Okay. What else have we got? Anything over here? What have we got here?
Two
headlines. Okay. Free drugs and sex? I'm intrigued. I don't know about you.
Maybe daily
sex. Maybe what?
Maybe daily sex.
Maybe daily sex.
I want to make that clear, that was her.
Do you know, when you walked in here, you never expected this, did you? You didn't know it was going to get to this kind of level. No, okay.
But the more serious form was then become a millionaire.
Become a millionaire. How to become a millionaire. Okay, yeah, I could go with that. I'm still leaning over here, I have to tell you. Are there any more entries for the headline competition? I'm going to ward it over. I think conference. Oh, you've got one at the back. A late entry. Two late entries at the back. Yes?
Hundreds of tigers lose at conference.
Hundreds of tigers lose. You were thinking about Jim, weren't you, this morning? That's not bad. I like that, but you'd have to be at the conference to know what that meant. I think that's quite good. And did you have one here, madam? MPI overcame turbulence. That would have been, I would have certainly bought that, because when my plane tried to land at Malaga. No, I didn't. We didn't land at all. I ended up in Almira, wherever the hell that is. It's in another country. I mean, it took it was about 6 hours to drive here by coach. Is it another country?
It's not.
It's a big country, Spain, obviously. There, I'm going to award you that. Well done. Well done. Big hand for Rob. Well done here. Okay. Right. So, headlines, magic messages, headlines are very, very important. You've got to think, how can you create a headline, how can you create a magic message? Use words that matter, particularly words that matter to the people you're trying to get to. Make sure those words are relevant, make sure they're memorable, but most of all, make sure that you have something in the headline which is useful. When you're promoting your event, promote the use of it to the people who are going to come along. What's the value they're going to get from that? Can you express that in your message in your headline? Incidentally, all these slides are available from the website, or if you can't get them from there, my cards are on the table. You can email me and I will send you a copy. Tell a story. I showed you the story of the no kissing zone on the railway station, the linger for longer sign that extended the story. We allow kissing on our railway stations at Chiltern Railways, the piggybacking event. If you can tell a story, that's what a journalist wants. Journalists, and I'm still a journalist, I've got a journalistic card in my pocket where it's been close to my heart for 32 years, because I'm really old. Journalists want stories. Journalists do not want information. If you're opening a new office in Barcelona, nobody cares less. Other than you, probably. Or if you've got a new managing director. So what? What's the story? What's the thing that makes it interesting? That's what you've got to be thinking about when you're trying to sell a story to a newspaper. I'm going to tell you how to write the perfect press release in a moment. But before that, make sure that if you're creating a story, that one about Susan Boyle that I showed you, Susan Boyle's cat moved to Wanstead, that's got those two elements. It's got human interest, it's got local interest in one simple headline. That's what we humans like to know about. We love stories. We love people who tell stories. We love to tell stories ourselves. It's what we do all the time. It's a human thing. We're storytellers. And that's why people respond to stories in the media. They don't respond to information. They want stories. And, as I just said a moment ago, answer the so what question. If you're promoting an event and you put a message out there and you read it, or you show it to somebody else and they say, so what? What's the point? Then it doesn't work. So you've got to be able to answer the so what question. When somebody reads a headline, reads why you're promoting your event, so what? What's it all about? Why on earth should I go to Vancouver? Or why should I go to Barcelona? Or why should I go to London? What am I going to get from it? You've got to be able to tell people in a headline. That's really important. And this is one of the tips that I always offer people. I think this is one of the best pieces of advice I was ever given, and I pass it on to you. Always, always simplify a message. Never make it more complicated. It's an absolute rule as far as I'm concerned. I work with lots of big companies. I work with telecoms and banks and all those sorts of people. And I'm always saying to them, what's your message? And usually when I walk in, I've got a room like this. I might have the European board of a bank. And I'm talking to them. I say, what's your message? And they say, ah, well, Alan, it's very simple. It's blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, and blah, 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 blah. And I say, is that it? And they say, no, it's blah, 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 blah as well. Oh, and we also want to know, blah, blah, blah. We want to get that across too. And blah, blah. I say, I've no idea what you're talking about. I don't know. I don't understand the message. And they say, but it's obvious. And I say, no, it isn't. I want to hear it in 10 words or 6 words. What are you doing for people? It takes a while for lots of organizations to learn that you've got to make things simple. Like Nike, just do it. That's the slogan, just do it. It's simple. Lots of organizations, if you think about it, have a very simple tagline, a very simple headline that you associate with them. I'm assuming you've got one for your companies. I'm going to ask you in a moment. So press releases. Let's talk about press releases for a while. How many people do press releases here? I don't believe more of you do it than that. I'm sure you... No, okay. Press releases that you send out are a waste of time. I'm prepared to bet, actually, that most of the press releases you send out are a waste of time. Here are some statistics to back up my statement. These are from PR Newswire, a very respectable source, a couple of years ago. I think that figure of 54% is an underestimate. My guess would be it's closer to 70%. But certainly, more than half of press releases that are sent out generate no publicity at all. Not a line of print, not a minute on the radio, not a mention on television. Not even a mention on a blog. Nothing at all. Hard as that may be to believe, it's absolutely true. There are lots and lots of press releases which get sent out, maybe by you and your organisations, which generate nothing whatsoever because they're dull. They're full of information. They're not containing a story. And local papers, like that lovely one at the end of my road, get 80 to 100 press releases a day, and only one or two a week ever appear in the newspaper, if that. I used to work in a newspaper called The Guardian. So you can now guess what my politics might be, but you'd be wrong. You'd be wrong. I'm not political. But I used to work at a newspaper called The Guardian, and we used to receive a lot of press releases, and I took a photograph. I knew I was coming here. This is years ago, but I guessed I would be coming here one day, and I thought, I'm going to take a photograph to show you the press releases at The Guardian that we used to receive every week. Here is a week's worth of press releases at the London Guardian, or Manchester Guardian, as it used to be, newspaper. Ready? There we go. There's about 10,000 press releases in there. That's at the back of the Guardian offices in Farringdon Road in London, taken about 20 years ago. How many of those press releases do you think appeared in the newspaper? Have a guess. Pardon? No. Less. Naught! See, it's him again. It's them again. Those guys from, was it Signal?
Sorry.
Yeah, I knew that, really. I just wanted to make you say it. They're a brilliant PR company. I just wanted to promote themselves over there. They're very, very good. Actually, Cat Publications are very good too. They're lovely. They are lovely, lovely people. They are gorgeous people. We even coordinated our suits, didn't we, Martin? It was very... Yeah, I love you too. Okay. Anyway, this is 10,000 press releases shredded at The Guardian. Weighed, shredded, thrown away, never read. Because they didn't have a story in them. They weren't interesting. So, would you like to know how to create the perfect press release that is almost guaranteed to get into print? Yes. We got 5 people that time. This is good. I'm on a roll. Things are getting better. Okay, this is how to make your press release work. You're going to be able to guess the first one. A stunning headline. A stunning headline. In just the same way that you want people, that journalists create a headline to make people read their story, you need to create a stunning headline in order that people will read your press release. Incidentally, may I just ask a quick question? I don't have the light-emitting paddles, I'm sorry, but I will just collect the answers myself and beep them back to you. How many people read a newspaper? Okay, that's none. There? Nobody reads a newspaper. I've never met anybody who reads a newspaper. Most people scan through a newspaper until they find an interesting headline and then they read the story underneath it. I have never in my life met anybody who reads an entire newspaper, every page, every column, every story. We scan through newspapers until we find a story, a headline, which is so stunning we think we have to read the story underneath it. I may be wrong. I'm going to test this now. Is there anybody who reads every single word in the newspaper? Oh, do you? Well, God bless you. See, it's so rare, isn't it? You see, this risky thing that we do. Well, fine. Is it the train from Warrington, by any chance, that comes down? You have a little kiss before you get on? It's an hour's journey. Why not? You might as well read the whole thing. Okay, well, apart from one person in a random sample of 50, nobody reads the newspaper. Anyway, the point is, you need a stunning headline. That's the important thing. You've got to include a story. You know that by now. You've learnt that. You've got to have what we call an inverted structure. And now I demonstrate how limited my graphic ability is. Can you all see this? Can anybody see this? There was no reaction whatsoever. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Some of you can see this. I am now going to draw a couple of diagrams. I'm going to draw a diagram of a novel, a play, or a film. There we are. That's it there. And I'm going to draw a diagram of a press release. That's it there. Okay. Another colour. Okay. What colour would you like? Would you like red?
Black.
Would you like red? Red. Okay. Red. How's that? Oh, that's cool, isn't it? I'm quite good at this. Can you tell what it is yet? Okay. So, this is my picture of a book, play, or film. This is my picture of a press release. What do I mean? When you read a book or watch a play, the characters get introduced, the scene is set up, it gets slightly more complicated, maybe there's a subplot, the story goes on, and there's a big finish when you find out who committed the crime, or how they were caught, or the whole thing blows up, or whatever it is. So, it gradually builds up and there's a big finish. A press release is exactly the other way round. The big finish comes at the beginning. In other words, if it was a crime novel or a crime story, you would find out in the headline who committed the crime. You'd find out the point of the story right at the beginning, right in the headline. It's what I call an inverted structure. This is the main mistake that people make when they're constructing a press release. They try and tell a story. They tell it as though they're telling somebody a story, they're relating a film, or they're writing a book. This is not the way to write a press release. The way to write a press release is to tell people the most important thing in the headline and then tell them the next most important thing in the first line of the release. And ideally, get a quote in from the major person involved in the story, possibly you, as quickly as possible, definitely in the first paragraph. And all the other stuff probably won't get read anyway. Because the journalist is really only got time, I'm a journalist, there are other journalists here, we've really only got time to read the headline, or to tell whether it's worth going any further. And if I was to give you any piece of advice about a press release, it's that. I've got some better advice in a moment. It gets better than this, believe it or not. So, press releases. That's the only bit of graphics we're going to do. Inverted structure. Can you see that right? Great. Thank you. I'll get a black pen in a minute. Okay. As I said, quotes in the first paragraph. Make sure you get a quote in early on. The number of press releases I see, they've got a quote in paragraph 6. And then somebody says, but they never actually said anything about this. Well, of course not. They never read that far. And if you're doing an interview on radio or television, I can guarantee to you that the person who is interviewing you will never have read anything except the headline, if that. They've probably just had a little voice in their headphones that says that you're interviewing a person who's an expert in this. And that's it. That's all they know. So all that effort that's gone into paragraph 6 of the press release has been wasted. Now, here are the two really clever things that make your press releases work. These are two things that are almost guaranteed to get your press release used. Warn the journalist the press release is coming. A lot of people just blast out press releases into the atmosphere and expect that someone's going to pick them up. What happens? They end up in that industrial shredder that I showed you earlier on. The whole point of public relations is about developing a relationship between you and journalists that are going to be interested in your story. And if you have a relationship with a journalist, you can contact them in advance, by phone, by email, by tweet, whatever it is they respond to, and say, I've got a release coming about this, can we send it over? So they're expecting it. And then the really clever thing is, change the release every time you send it to a journalist. When I'm working with clients, I say, we're not going to send 5,000 press releases to 5,000 journalists in the hope that one of them will read it. We're going to send 20 targeted releases to 20 journalists, and each release is going to be different. Because we know the person we're sending it to, we know that their publication or their radio station is interested in this, and therefore we will include that in the story. The whole point of doing this, it's a cooperation between you and the press. They want a story which will suit their readers, or suit their listeners, or suit their viewers. You want to get a story out about your event. You cooperate with them. They want to help. They're not trying to make lives difficult. Journalists are your friends, honestly. We're nice people, aren't we, Martin? We're nice people. Well-ish. You know, it depends what you've done. You know, if you've misbehaved, we're going to get you. But, you know, if you're nice and friendly, and buy us the odd donut, then, you know, we're going to look after you, don't worry. Okay, so, make sure, here's another tip, every press release must have a story in it. I don't want you ever, after today, to send out a press release that doesn't have a story in it. Will you promise me that you will not send out I'll do it the other way around. Will you promise me that every press release you send out from now on has a story in it?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. As a journalist, on behalf of the journalistic community, I thank you for that. Send out stories. Okay. Now I want to tell you how to get on the radio. Just to demonstrate how old I really am, I'm much older and better looking than I appear in this light. The lights are terrible in here, aren't they? What I'd like to do is to tell you how to get on the radio. Would you like to be on the radio? That was an enthusiastic non-response. Let me tell you why you would like to be on the radio. You would like to be on the radio because it is a very easy way of getting publicity, particularly a local radio station to which the listeners are very loyal and to which they listen and believe everything they hear. People believe what they hear on the radio far more than they believe what they see on television or even, I'm sorry to say, what they read in magazines or newspapers. People believe what they hear on the radio, and it's very easy to get on the radio. I'm going to show you three things you can do to guarantee you get on the radio before the end of next month. Absolutely guaranteed. Just like I've just made your press releases work. How cool is this? I'm going to help you get on the radio now. But I just thought I'd show you a picture of a pirate radio station in London in 1967. This is Radio Jackie. And in fact, that is Jackie, after whom the radio station was named. Radio Jackie is still going in London. It's a proper radio station. It's legal now, but in those days it was illegal. Has anybody ever heard of pirate radio? You've heard of pirate radio and those boats that used to float around the North Sea. There were some pirate radio stations that were based in a field in Surrey, and this was one. And the reason I show you this photograph is that I'm in it. That's my bottom, actually. That's me, there. That's me. That's me. I'm really old, and I was 15 when that photograph was taken, and I was a DJ. That was my first ever job. I was a DJ on a pirate radio station. The reason it was called Radio Jackie, it was named after Jackie. Jackie was in the team because her mother had a very large pram, a baby carriage, which was very important in the early days of pirate radio, because if you can see here, there are two, three very large car batteries. These provided the power for the transmitter, and they were so heavy we couldn't carry them, so we employed Jackie to put the three car batteries in her mother's pram so that when the police came, we could run away. It's absolutely true. And there's an aerial going up there into the trees, and that's where we broadcast. We broadcast across an area as big as 10 square miles. We were fabulous. That's not the sort of radio station I want you to get on, though. I merely include that for vanity and to show you that I've been a journalist for a very, very long time. Is that 43 years ago? It is, my goodness me, it's 43 years ago. Extraordinary. Doesn't he look good for that age? Okay, three steps to radio. Here are three things that I guarantee will get you onto radio. Step one. Can you do that? We're going interactive again here. Sorry, I'll come back. I'll come in again. Three things that I can do to guarantee you get on the radio. Step one. Can you do that?
Yes.
Okay, you can listen to the radio. So, it's very easy. All you do, you turn the radio on, and you listen. Ideally, to a talk radio show, the sort of show that you might want to be on. Don't listen to a music show unless you're a musician. Like Mike over there. Incidentally, Mike is going to do a brilliant presentation about the Beatles later on. Is it later on today, Mike, isn't it? Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's going to be the highlight of this event. He's absolutely fantastic. He's a brilliant guy. How much did we say that was going to cost? Thank you very much. Okay. But he is fantastic. Don't miss it. Something about the Beatles. Mike's album. So, listen to the radio. Make notes. Write down the time you're listening, the show you're listening to, the person who's doing the presenting, what's on the news. All sorts of notes. Write a couple of pages of notes. Listen for about 1 hour. Can you all do that? Yes. It's easy. Step two. Make a connection between your business, your event, and something you've heard. And if you listen to talk radio for an hour, I guarantee that you will hear something that makes a connection between your business, the event you're about to promote, and something that you heard on the radio. It doesn't matter whether it's a news item, something the presenter said, something that was trailed about something coming up later on. It doesn't matter. Anything at all, make a connection, write it down. Are we okay with that? Okay? That's not too bad, is it? The third thing is actually really quite difficult. This is where it gets really difficult. Phone the producer. Phone the producer. The reason is the presenter doesn't have the authority to call in different guests. Now, I said this last week in Estonia. And the audience said, no, Alan. The presenter is also the producer and the editor of the show. So in Estonia, this is not true. Okay? If you're from... Is anybody here from Estonia?
Hi.
You are?
So... Swedish, but
so in Tallinn, this is not true.
But there is not enough people, so...
There are a million...
Yesterday, they take all the jobs, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly right. So there we are. Confirmation. I asked him to come along especially. While I was in Estonia last week, I asked him if he'd come along to verify that, because journalists verify their sources. See what I did there. Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay. So, phone the producer because they need to hear your voice. Because radio is about voice, it's about sound. You say to the producer, I was listening to the radio on this day, at this time, I heard this person, and it made me think, we do that. I've got a story about that. Can I come and talk to you about it? And if you do those three things, I guarantee you, they will say, yes, let's talk some more. Because radio is desperate for guests. It's desperate for you guys. They are desperate to get you on air because they're on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days every year. And where are they going to get guests from? They don't want the same people all the time. They don't want the same expert. They want you to go and talk to them about what you do, about your event, about the fact you can eat yourself clever. You know, they would love to talk to you about those sorts of things. Or even that, was it Peter Kennedy has died? Or whoever it was. Actually, I'm going to go for the sex and rock and roll. Was it sex and drugs and rock and roll? No rock and roll. Just sex and drugs. That's fine by me, you know? Okay, whatever. That's cool. But the thing is, you've got to be able to phone up, talk to the producer and say, can I come in and talk to you? And if you do those three things, and I know most of you won't, I just know you won't do it. Because I've been doing this riff for years, and quite often I say to people, if this works for you, come back and tell me. And it's usually three people from each audience that phone me later on. You've got my contact details on the table. Yes, madam.
I just want to ask you, when do you phone the producer? You've got a event coming up. You want to interlink.
Yeah.
When do you ring the producer?
I would say probably no more than a week before the event. In fact, I would say usually 2 or 3 days before the event. The radio is that immediate that they will usually bring a guest in. They will organise the guests only 2 or 3 days before. Some shows will do it on the morning of the show. There's a lunchtime show that I used to work on in the UK called Working Lunch, and they used to decide at 9:30 in the morning who were the guests they were going to have at 12:30. So you get a call at 10 in the morning. So I would say probably 2 or 3 days before the event. Much earlier than that, it's going to get lost in the system. So it's very, very immediate. Okay. Going to talk about social networking now, because I thought, social networking is great. Are you on all these sites? I am. I'm across the whole lot of them. This is a tiny fraction of social networking websites. There are thousands and thousands of these. You've got to be on all of them. You've got to be on every single social working next site. There are 7,000, or is it 10,000 now? You've got to be on every single one, all the time, updating them, tweeting, blogging, podcasting, the whole damn thing. Or maybe not. Or maybe not. Because you can't. You can't. How can you possibly keep up with all these websites? I think there are some people just saying, I'm on that one. I'm not on that one. I didn't know about that one. Take it away. Stop doing that. Pay attention. The thing is, social networking is very valuable, and I'm going to talk to you about three social networking sites that I think are brilliant for promoting events, but you can't be on all of them. It's absolutely impossible. So, let's talk a bit about social networking, and let's talk about five ways to promote your event using social media. How good is that? Twitter, obviously. How many people here are on Twitter? See, think, that was five people. Five, you're on. You know this event is being tweeted. If you go on Twitter and you type in EMEC10, the digits 10, into the search box, there's a whole load of information about this event. Loads of it. You're missing out. You're missing a channel of information if you're not using Twitter at the moment. I mean, several of us were sitting in Jim's thing this morning, tweeting messages to one another. I picked up a piece of business this morning while I was sitting in the event tweeting, and somebody said, oh, I need to talk to you about that. And isn't Jim Lawless brilliant? Just one of those things. You need to be using Twitter. This is my Twitter account with some shameless self-publicity for my new book. Ping, did I mention this when I came in? Ping, widely available. It's a fantastic book. There's a man already bought a copy over here. Look now. How good is that? You can control the background. So you can decide what your backdrop is. You can customize your backdrop to subtly advertise your event or your business. If you don't use Twitter, then you may not know that Twitter is basically text messages sent across the internet. It's 140 character messages sent across the internet, and there's about 4,500 people who follow me and keep a check on what I do, and there are 3,000 people that I keep in touch with. Well, of course I don't. That's absolute nonsense. I couldn't possibly do that. But these are people who can watch what each other are doing. Now, some things about Twitter. That's my homepage. If you're on Twitter, you can put a biography, so you can include keywords about you and your event. So when you go into, you're all going to have a Twitter account soon, I know you are. So when you go onto Twitter, put into your biography keywords, because the thing about Twitter is the search engine is the best in the world. The reason that companies like Google and Microsoft want to buy Twitter is that their search engine is immediate. As soon as you put a message onto Twitter, it's indexed within a fraction of a second, and it appears in the search results. Google doesn't do that. There isn't any other search engine that does that. It's brilliant. And therefore, if you put your search terms in your biography, people will find you and will find your event. 95% of journalists are using Twitter. 84% of PR companies are using Twitter. Are you using Twitter, you guys? Of course you are, because you're a PR company. Very good one, too. The thing is, you need, if you want to contact journalists and you want to talk to PR companies, that's where they are. So why not be there and talk to them? It's kind of blindingly obvious. And one thing that's very, very important. You see there's a link up there where it says web. I don't know if you can see that. It's a web link. A lot of people say, let's put that link to our homepage. Homepage of our company, because our homepage is fabulous. Got all sorts of good stuff at the organisation. I say no. I say, have yourself a dedicated Twitter landing page. That's on one of my websites. I know if you clicked on that link, you must have been coming from Twitter. So I acknowledge the fact. Hi, I'm Alan Stevens. You arrived here from Twitter, so a very warm welcome. And I tell you some stuff about what I do, and then I try to capture your email address for my wonderful email newsletter, which goes out to 15,000 people every Friday morning. Has done for the last 7 years. It's good, isn't it, Mike? There we are. Mike received it. It's good. You're going to get the chance to receive that yourselves. How kind am I? I'm going to give you something else. I'm full of the joys of giving things away today. It's fabulous. The point is, you can promote your organisation, you can promote your event. Your Twitter link could point to a page promoting your event. It doesn't have to go to your homepage. There are ways of using Twitter to promote your event very effectively. A couple of stories about Twitter, because a lot of people say, I don't get Twitter, I don't think it works. Just let me share two stories with you. This is a guy called Scott Monty, based in Detroit, head of social media at Ford. Scott was given a very difficult task. He was given the task of introducing a new car into the States, a car called the Ford Fiesta. Has anybody ever owned a Ford Fiesta? It's a crap car, isn't it? Yes. It really is. It's what it's in the categories of cars, it's the ones we call crap. You know, it's not very good. There's nobody here from Ford, is there? I've never worked with Ford, and I'm not about to by the sound of it. But anyway, but Scott was given the task of introducing the Ford Fiesta in America. So he thought, this is great. I'll have a big marketing budget. I can put up, you know, billboards in Times Square and a huge TV marketing campaign. And they said, actually, Scott, we don't have any money to market the new car. You've got to do it through social media. So he had to think, and he came up with an idea, which he called the Fiesta movement. Actually, the cars are a lot better than the Ford Fiestas I used to drive. It actually looks quite a cool little car now. And the idea is, the Fiesta movement, which is quite a cool website and got hundreds of thousands of hits, millions of hits in its first week, it's a social media website. You've got photos, videos, Twitter messages, blog posts, what we call a syndication feed. It's full of social media. Because what Scott Monty did, he put out a message on Twitter and he said, if 100 people would like a free Ford Fiesta for 6 months, we will give it to you. We'll pay for the car, we'll pay for the fuel, we'll pay for your tax and insurance. All you have to do is drive it for 6 months and use social media to document your adventure. And we'll call it the Ford Fiesta movement. So he did it all on Twitter. He got thousands of people applied. He picked 100. And here are two of the 100 people who got picked. Obviously, you have to have a hat, a funny expression, and a liking for sausage. These were clearly the demographics they were trying. But actually, they were trying to reach a new demographic. They were trying to reach a younger market for these sorts of cars. So they deliberately gave the 100 Ford Fiestas to these people. And these people were using social media. They did videos, they did blogs, they sent tweets, they sent photographs. Scott was given the task of making sure the car was introduced into the States. Can I get you a drink? No, I haven't touched that. It's quite fine. You'll be okay with that. All right. Okay. Good. So, he made sure the car could be introduced into the States. He was asked if he could promote 100,000 cars. And he was given a budget of something like $250,000, which is not very much. It's about $2.50 a car. And I'm not an accountant. I'm a humble journalist. They didn't sell 100,000 cars, unfortunately. They sold 300,000 cars. So for a cost of less than a marketing cost of less than a dollar a car, he introduced the Ford Fiesta into America. Now, some people say, is it worth using social media? Go and ask Scott Monty. See what Scott thinks about that. See what he would tell you. Here's one more story. This is a guy called Shaquille O'Neal. The real Shaq. He's a big guy in every sense. He's huge. I've met him. He's massive. He's up here. Massive. He's banging his head on the ceiling. He's massive. He's about 12 feet tall. He's a brilliant basketball player. In the twilight of his career now, but a brilliant basketball player. I don't know if you can see how many Twitter followers he's got. 2,387,064 people follow Shaquille on Twitter. The reason why that is because of this lady. She's called Amy Jo Martin. She lives in Phoenix and she runs a company called Digital Royalty. If you don't follow anybody else on Twitter other than me, Media Coach, incidentally, when you start keying my name in, follow Digital Royalty. Amy Jo Martin. She understands how social media works and she's able to measure the ROI, although she calls it return on influence. She's very good. Very good. In fact, I'm bringing Amy Jo over to the UK to run some events because she's that good. She's that popular. She's got 1 million followers herself. God bless her. I interviewed her in this wonderful book and she now tweets saying you should buy Alan's book from Amazon.com. As a result, I've got huge sales of this book in America. All through social media and the blessed digital royalty, Amy Jo Martin. So, I was having lunch with Amy in Phoenix last year and Shaquille O'Neal was on the phone. He wasn't with us, he was on the phone. And he said, we've got to sell 2,000 tickets for our next basketball game. And she said, send out a tweet that says you will sign photographs after the game for half an hour. And then include a link to the ticket page on the website. He said, is that all? She said, that's all you need to do. So, put the phone down, we carried on eating our lunch. Half an hour later, the phone rang. And he said, thank you very much, Amy. Those 2,000 tickets have now gone. So they've just shifted 2,000 tickets at $75 a ticket by sending a single tweet, a single Twitter message. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's quite an effective return on investment. Yeah, you may disagree. You may think Twitter's a load of old rubbish. But if you can get a return on investment using anything else in the world, I want to know about it. So, I think Twitter is good. This is fun. Anyone know what that is? I'll give you a clue. I found this on my bed in Buxton, in Derbyshire, in the centre of the UK last week when I was speaking at the National Students Events Conference. I walked into my hotel room, I just checked in, I was tired. In fact, I found two of these on my bed. They are folded towel elephants. They are folded towel elephants. They are towels folded into the shape of an elephant. There were two of them. I thought, that's odd. I took a picture of them and I uploaded it to TwitPic, which is a place where you can put your pictures on Twitter and it links and it sends out a tweet about it. I phoned reception. I said, excuse me, there is a folded towel elephant on my bed. And the lady, this is an absolutely true story, I'm not making this up, the lady said, that's very strange. And I said, yes it is. And she said, the cleaning lady usually makes monkeys on a Monday. I kid you not, that is absolutely true. That's a true story. Anyway, the point was I sent out this message and thought, I'll put up this picture, no more about it. Now, I don't know if you can see that. There's a lady here, she's a journalist called Alina Naylor. She said she picked up the picture, or picked up the message, looked at the picture and said, would you mind letting me know which hotel you're in? I'm feeling an animal towel folding feature on my radio programme coming on. Now, in fact, she then phoned me. She found my details on my website. She phoned me and said, I see you're in the area. I see you talk about media and PR. I don't really want to do an interview about folded towels. I'd like to do an interview about media and PR and Tiger Woods. So can you come in and talk for half an hour about Tiger Woods, which I did. It's a random thing. It's how social media works. Through that, putting up a random picture of a folded elephant, I ended up with half an hour on the BBC talking about Tiger Woods, promoting myself and raising my profile. It's just how these things can work. One more example, and then we'll get back to the real world. Here's my breakfast. Okay? Here's, how sad am I? You know, I was talking about putting those little discs in the sand, saying, how sad are you? Somebody should give me one, shouldn't they, frankly? I'm really sad. I took a picture of my breakfast with a subtle advertising message. Can you see what I did there? I propped up a picture of my book on my coffee cup. I took a photograph of it and sent it. And you think, well, how stupid. Alan, why would you do that sort of thing? I just felt like doing it at the time. I got a phone call later on that day from a pal of mine, Dave. He said, Alan, saw your picture. Hope you enjoyed your breakfast. Hope you enjoyed the event. It reminded me that I'd like 500 of your books for our sales conference in a month's time. Can you ask your publisher to package 500 books and ship them over? I made £5,000. I'm happy with that. I made £5,000 from taking a picture of my breakfast. I think that's a good rate of return. You're thinking I'm crazy. I don't. I think it's rather good. It's a good rate of return. I'm not suggesting you should take pictures of folded towel elephants at breakfast. What I'm saying to you is there are things that can happen through you using social media and making a random connection and meeting a journalist or meeting a PR person or creating an opportunity that will never happen in any other way. Enough of the madness. Here's some practical things. If you're going to promote your event using Twitter, tweet often. Build buzz about your event. Create a hashtag. A hashtag is where you put a hash sign in front of a word, and that makes it a live link. It makes it a search term. So for this event, hash EMEC10 is the link which will bring you all of the messages about this event, assuming that people include them in their message, which they should do. So when you have an event, create a hashtag and tell people what it is. Tell them in the publicity, tell them in the emails, tell them whenever you talk to them. And get people talking about the event for at least a month beforehand. Create some buzz around the event. Tweet ups. Anyone know what a tweet up is? Anyone been to a tweet up? A tweet up. I went to a meeting industry tweet up in Madame Tussauds about 3 weeks ago where people just sent out a Twitter message saying, event industry experts are gathering at Madame Tussauds in 3 hours' time. If you're here, come along, have a glass of champagne. And that's what we did. It was a meet up, or some people call it crowdsourcing. Some of you are starting to think, I've completely lost it at this stage, aren't you? You're thinking, this is madness. Now, we're going to get back to the real world, don't worry. The fact is, people are going to be doing this whether you like it or not. They're going to be doing this. Twitterfall is something to be aware of. Twitterfall is like a waterfall of Twitter messages. Imagine a website where you've got a waterfall of Twitter messages arriving in real time. There was a conference in America, and my friend of mine was at it in Dallas, I believe. where somebody, you know, when you have those two big screens, you have a big screen over here and a big screen, the two big iMac screens, and on one screen you have the presenter doing a shtick and all this sort of thing, and over here you can put the same or you can put something else. This presenter said, I'd like my photograph and my presentation on this screen. Over here, I'd like a Twitter fall, so that all the tweets that are being sent by my audience about me can be seen by the audience, and people can see how wonderful I am and how much they love me. Unfortunately, somebody in his audience didn't like him, and they sent out a message, a Twitter message, saying, this guy is an idiot. Does anybody agree? Of course, he was standing like this, didn't see the message come up. And then more messages started to appear saying, yes, where did those slides come from? He must be a man from the 70s. He has no idea about this event. And then somebody said, let's walk out. Somebody sent a Twitter message saying, let's walk out. Let's do a countdown from 10. And they tweeted 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. And as they got to 0, 3/4 of the audience stood up and left the room. He had no idea why. So, just a warning to you. Don't use it on stage, okay? Do not, under any circumstances, whatever the speaker says to you, use Twitter fall on stage. However, in audiences at every single event, people are going to be sending Twitter messages. See, Mike's doing it now, look. He's doing it now. I'm doing it now. See, he's on Twitter. People are going to be on Twitter. I now, as a speaker, I'm a professional speaker, believe it or not. I know you're going to find this really hard to believe, but I am. I earn money doing this, not here, obviously. But I now say to people, leave your phones on. Put them on silent. And if you want to send a message or receive a message at any time, that's absolutely fine. Fine by me. Once upon a time, we used to say, turn your phones off. Please turn off your mobile phones. Not anymore. Because people are going to be sending messages regardless. So I now say to people in the audience, put your phones on, send whatever messages you want. It's actually quite good for me, because I feel they're not actually texting their friends, they're sending a message about me. So it makes me feel better when I see somebody using a phone in the audience. But I know people are going to do it. They're going to do it at your event. They're going to be talking about you regardless. You might as well know what's going on. And keep it going. Facebook. Anybody use Facebook? Yes. Brilliant. So more of you use Facebook than Twitter. That makes sense. 500 million people using Facebook. 22 million people using Twitter. Facebook's huge. It's a big social thing. You keep in touch with your friends and family and all that sort of thing. Can you use Facebook to promote your event? Yes, you can. There's my Facebook profile. That's not very interesting, so we're not going to dwell on that. But things like, I don't know how many people went to International Confex. I was speaking there last week. You missed me. Bad luck. But Confex now used Facebook very successfully to create buzz around an event. 825 fans. They've set up a fan page on Facebook for International Confex at Earl's Court. You know what the event is. Many of you have been there. What happens is that the people who come into this group before an event, they get excited about the event and they're going to buy a ticket. Well, not to Confex, it's free. But I mean, if you've got an event which is chargeable, and you've got people in here saying, I'm determined to go to this because so-and-so's speaking, or I'm going to get that, or it was great last year, great return on investment, all of a sudden you're boosting the interest in your event, you're boosting the number of people who are going to come along, and it's costing you very little money. To set up a Facebook page costs you nothing. To manage it costs you very little. And yet, it can create buzz around your event far more effectively than marketing, because people believe what other people say. They're talking to each other about your event. It's not you blasting marketing material which they can believe or choose not to believe. They're going to believe what people say. Actually, provided you've got a good event, of course, which you all have. If you've got a crap event like a Ford Fiesta, don't do this. Do it some other way. But none of you have. This is a lady I've been working with called Imogen. Does anybody know Imogen Heap? You do. She's good, isn't she? She's on tour in the UK at the moment. Imogen, I've been helping Imogen with her promotion. She's been using Facebook. She's got 300,000 fans on Facebook. She's been using Twitter, and she doesn't have an agent. She doesn't have a marketing company. She doesn't have a PR company. Well, she does now because she's getting famous. She's on tour. But she promoted herself almost entirely using Facebook. She won a Grammy Award 3 weeks ago. She's brilliant. And she's done it all herself using Facebook. So you can break through that mold. You still need brilliant PR companies like our friends over here. But there's an awful lot you can do yourself. So, how do you use Facebook at your event? You can create event announcements on your wall, you know, about your Facebook wall. You can put stuff up there. Fan page, as I've shown you. Twitter updates, you can link into Facebook as well. So you can update your Twitter status and that updates your Facebook status at the same time. And pay-per-click ads, which are not so effective as they used to be on Google, are very effective currently on Facebook. There aren't so many people using pay-per-click ads on Facebook, which means that if you use them correctly and cleverly and use the right keywords, they can be very, very effective in promoting your event, and not just going to a fan page on Facebook, but going off to the event website itself. So pay-per-click on Facebook is quite effective. We still okay? Yeah, good. How are we doing for time, by the way? That's 12 minutes. We've surely been going for more than 12 minutes. It feels like an hour and a half, nearly. Okay. We're getting to some good stuff. LinkedIn. How many of you use LinkedIn? Okay, lots of you. You're all looking for jobs. Good for you. That's the right thing to do with LinkedIn. LinkedIn was a human resources site set up by human resource professionals, and the idea is it's about CVs and jobs. But there are some things on LinkedIn. There's my LinkedIn profile. I'm sure you'll be linking to me. I only link in with people I've actually met, by the way. So now I've met you beautiful people, I'm prepared to link in with you because you're really nice. But LinkedIn can be used very effectively to promote your event. Oh, here we are. Did everybody sign up to this before this event? Not many. Okay. So that was there. There was a whole... Only 27 people, unfortunately, had signed up when I took this photograph. All right, this was about a month ago. But you could have probably made more of the event if you'd been in there talking to people, making links, making connections, finding out what was going on before the event. And you could... Every event should be doing this, in my view. It should have a LinkedIn page related to it. And if you haven't, you're missing a trick. The cost of this is nothing, other than the time it takes you to put the page up. It's really effective marketing. Why aren't you doing this stuff? It's free. So, on LinkedIn, build your profile, set up an event page, and link your Twitter updates to LinkedIn in the same way that you can do it on Facebook. Audio. Stuff that comes through your ear holes. If you don't want to get on the radio, if you don't want to follow those tips, you can create your own radio station. There's mine. There's my picture up there, Radio Jackie. Microphone, that's me. I do a radio show. I've been doing a radio show. Mike does a very good one too, incidentally. So I'm not just pushing you, Mike, but he's good. He's got a brilliant audio show. Every week I do the Media Coach radio show. Online, 10,000 people download that from iTunes every Friday morning. I'm kind of happy with that. Because it means I'm getting out, 10,000, and here's an offer for you. If you want to be on my radio show, come and talk to me during the rest of this event. If you've got an interesting story, I mean, I just interviewed Jim Lawless, because I thought he was so good. I interviewed him for my radio show and he'll be playing that out next week. If you've got a really interesting story, come and talk to me. I've got my recorder here ready. I'll record your story and I'll put you on the radio in front of 10,000 people if you've got a good story to tell. But you could create something like that yourself. You could create a radio show around your event if you wanted to. And if you want to know how it works, especially for you, I've written a guide to how to create a radio show. So if you want to go to that link, it's a secret link. You can't find it any other way except I've just told you what it is. alanstevens.net/podcastingbasedagain. I said that quickly, but it's written on the screen behind me. If you go there, there's a 7-step guide to how to produce a radio show for nothing. For nothing. Because the software that you need to edit the radio show is something called Audacity, which costs nothing. All this stuff is free. It's brilliant. I don't know why people give it away. Okay, video. I'm sure all of you like me carry a high-quality HD widescreen video recorder in your pocket, don't you? I do everywhere I go because I record interviews on here. I've got my, if I don't want to go on TV, and I do quite a lot like many of us do, I've got my own TV channel as well on YouTube, which I create using this. It's free, which is quite a good price. Here's my YouTube TV channel. Here's some examples. After the presidential debates in the middle of the night between Joe Biden and Sarah Palin, or Obama and McCain, I would do a little piece on camera about the debate, about my views of the debate. This was taken a few days afterwards, 10,970 views, 3,000 views, 5,000 views. So people are watching my little interview with myself I mean, I do interviews with other people, and I create my own TV shows as well, but these were just one-offs after the debate. I knew there'd be interest in these debates, and I wanted to position myself as an expert on debates and speeches, which is what I did. You can do this about your event easily. Easily. This costs very little money. It uploads directly to YouTube, and you're done. Job done. You can do it in 5 minutes. Why aren't you doing it? So I'm being rather rude to you, aren't I? You're lovely people. I'm going to give you a prize. I tell you what. Let's do the prize draw for this. In order to win this book, can you just put your business card in the middle of the table? That's all you have to do. Business card in the middle of the table if you want to win this book, and we will select a winner in a moment. I'll carry on because I know we've only got a couple of minutes left. So while you're doing that, just to let you know, if you want to create an internet... In fact, Mike, could you do me a favour? Would you mind collecting the piles of cards? Good man you are. He's a lovely man. Don't miss his session. Something about the Beatles. Later on today. 5 o'clock, isn't it, Mike?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. It's brilliant. I'll be there. Right, while Mike's doing that, I just want to tell you one more story. I want to finish with a story, because we like stories, don't we? So I'm going to finish with a story. This is the place you stay when you go to Dubai. This is the Burj Al Arab Hotel. What do you know about the Burj Al Arab Hotel? Anything? It's the world's only seven-star hotel. That is, if I may use the word one more time, utter crap. It's utter crap. There is no such thing as a seven-star hotel. Hotel ratings go to 5. No higher. Hotel ratings go to 5. So why is the Burj Al Arab always referred to as the world's only seven-star hotel? Because the marketing manager made it up. That's the only reason. The marketing manager, I've met the guy, when the hotel was built, he said, we have to find a way of getting publicity, of getting a story out there, but we don't have a huge marketing budget. We spent it all on the hotel. What we'll do, we'll call it the world's only seven-star hotel. And everywhere you see it referred to, they call it the world's only seven-star hotel. It isn't. It's a five-star hotel like all the rest of them. But it's the belief, it's the perception that's been created. That's not the point of the story. When I was there, I saw these two gentlemen walk out onto the helipad. These two tennis players, who you probably recognise, they're quite good. One of them's still very good, the other one's doing other stuff, but that's okay. This was about 3-4 years ago. They walked out onto the helipad and they started playing tennis. They put a nice green carpet on the helipad. They were playing tennis. It was a stunt. Another stunt to publicise the Dubai tennis tournament, which was taking place the next day. I looked at this for a few minutes and I thought, well, you've seen top tennis players playing tennis on a helipad 2,000 feet above the Gulf quite often. It's not very interesting. Let's go back to the bar and have a drink, which is what I did. This is not the point of the story either. The point of the story is, as I came out of the hotel, I walked across the causeway. This causeway here. And incidentally, the reason it's joined to the mainland by a causeway is that it was built as a casino. I don't know if you know that. It was built as a casino and the Sheikh changed his mind. So it isn't a casino. It looks like, if you go inside there, to go to the bar, it looks like the set of Saturday Night Fever. It's got those floor tiles that light up as you walk across them. Honestly, it's great. You should go there. It's really, I know you stay there, you probably do. But it's a cool place. Full of bling, but cool. Okay, so, these guys playing tennis. As I walked out across the causeway to go back, I saw on the beach a man with a table about the size of this table, and there was a huge crowd, perhaps twice as many people as we have here in this room, and they're throwing money at this guy. I've never seen anything like it. They were shouting and screaming and throwing dollars and dirhams and euros and pounds and everything. And he had a pile of money on the table, all different sorts of notes, about this high. I've never seen anybody make money as quickly as that, and I thought, this is fantastic. I'm going to have to go and find out what's gone on. So I walked down there, and I said, excuse me, can I take a photograph of what you're doing? And he said, no, you can't. He wouldn't allow me to take a photograph. So I had to take a photograph of something that fell off the table. This is what fell off the table. It's a wet tennis ball. That was beside the table. He'd got a sign on the table, just obviously hastily handwritten. that said, as used by Agassi and Federer, $25 a ball. People were desperate to get a tennis ball as used by Agassi and Federer. That's why they were throwing money. That's why he had a pile of money higher than anything I'd ever seen on the table. He was making a huge amount of money in a very short space of time. The thing was, while I was up in the hotel, I hadn't seen any tennis balls go off the edge. I think he'd gone to a sports shop. He'd bought a pile of tennis balls, he had dunked them in the ocean, written a sign, put up a table, and made himself a fortune. He had seized the opportunity. He'd seized the opportunity. Mike, can we seize the opportunity of taking one business card out of this pile? See what I did there, a little segue. It's, a, you know, it's what professional speakers do. They go from one segue to another. We're going to draw out a winner. Thank you very much. This one. Oh. Meat Axis. Benoit Frommel. That's you at the back there, Benoit. There we are. Would you pass that back, please? There's no need for a round of applause. He hasn't done anything to earn it. But you can pass that back to him anyway. Now, two more things. I'm about to finish. I've got your business cards here now. See what I did there? Got your business cards. I produced possibly the best email newsletter in the world. It's full of media tips and advice. It's absolutely free and it comes to you every Friday morning. If you don't want to receive it, come and get your business card back. I'm going to leave them here. Okay? I'm going to spread them out on the table. If you don't want to receive it before you go, come and retrieve your business card and I'll never bother you again. But, one last thing I want to say. Seize every media opportunity. Every chance you get, talk to the media. Promote yourself. Use social media. Get on the radio. Have a simple message. Have a magic message. Tell them a story. It'll cost you next to nothing, other than your time. And it will make sure that your event has more people at a lower cost per head than you could imagine possible. I hope that's been useful to you. I am Alan Stevens, the media coach, and if you have been, thank you for listening.